Before this episode begins, I just want to give a lot of love to Anthony Young, a miscellaneous race man that I ran into at the Flamingo House Bar in Sac. He told me the only reason he went to Motown Mondays at Lowbrows in Sacramento was because he listens to me on TikTok. Shout out to him, bro. I appreciate the love. And we're going to have a very therapeutic episode today. Hope you guys enjoy. And good morning. Good evening. Whatever time period that you are listening to this podcast, how you doing? How you feeling? It is the weekend of Juneteenth. The week of Juneteenth. Juneteenth is at the end of this week. Still not used to this being an actual holiday in America now. That's something crazy. I'm going to try to spend it in Oakland. Yep. Blackest city in California. just to commemorate it properly, you know. How's everybody doing? How's everybody feeling? I know last episode might have been a little bit different, a little bit of a different vibe for you guys. I recorded it while doing my live stream on TikTok. I listened back to that episode and just like me personally, I felt like I didn't like, you know, when I do this podcast, I feel like the difference in between my content on TikTok and on YouTube versus with the podcast here is I feel like the audio form podcast is more of an intimate, sometimes mental health therapeutic conversation with my followers, with my listeners, versus the TikTok live stream is kind of more, I'll say clown-esque, like more live entertainer, more I'm at Laughs Unlimited Comedy Club in Sacramento. I feel like I couldn't have like an intimate conversation with you guys the way I usually do so. Because reality is, there is a big difference in between my listeners who only listen to my audio podcast versus those who only watch my TikToks. There is a big difference. And I appreciate those of you guys who have stuck with me, you know. So let's get hop right into it. Let's just been happening what's going on. Lately, your boy's just been working. I had to end up turning back to the gym. I want to talk about this because I feel like this is something that a lot of us go through when it comes to fitness. Those of you guys know my weight loss journey. A lot of you guys know my weight loss journey. I went down 37 pounds in 2 months, and I was so happy about it, and I just was geeked up, went to the club, talking to every 24-year-old Filipino girl that I could find. And just to be honest with you, bro, I gained some of the weight back. Not the whole 37, about 10, 15. And I'm going back down now. The last 3 days, I lost 3 pounds the last 3 days just because you guys know how I do it. 3 hours in elliptical every day, shadow boxing, boxing in a heavy bag every day. And well, today I did 3.5 hours. And I think I want to talk about it because I feel like a lot of us have struggled with weight our whole lives. And then there are a lot of us who have struggled with weight and then through regimen, through diet, got to a weight, got to a level we were happy and satisfied with, but somehow, some way, crept back up on the scale. A lot of us know what it's like to go 3-4 months going hard as you can in the gym. You see the results that you've been looking for, and then suddenly, it's gone. And I think there was a lot of conversations about weight loss and not enough conversations about weight maintenance. So I'll just talk to you about what I realized. I think everybody's weight loss journey is different. I think what everybody needs to do to lose weight, what everybody's body type requires, or et cetera, whatever, all that stuff that Bill Nye, the science guy, told us when we were children. Those of y'all who were born in the 1980s and 1990s know what I'm talking about. Bill Nye, the science guy on PBS. Man, I'm getting old. But anyway, I think that all of our challenges are different. So, for example, there are some people who their main challenge when it comes to health is exercise. There are a lot of people who do not like to exercise, who just hate exercise. They don't understand the concept of making yourself tired for no freaking reason at all. Then there are some people who struggle with diet. Some people who eat too much. Some people who eat don't eat enough. I struggle with the former. And that's where it comes into saying identifying what your problem is. My gift in life has always been I can push myself to extremes that the average person can't. So this weight that I gained back, keep in mind, I was working out the whole time. I was doing 2 hours of cardio, boxing, et cetera, et cetera. I was working it the whole time when I gained that weight back. You know what I was fucking up at? My diet. I let myself go on my diet because I got too comfortable. I started having pies when I shouldn't have had pies. I had sweets when I shouldn't have had sweets, which wouldn't be a big issue for the average person. But in the way that I like to eat, the diet that I was doing to lose weight was perfect. What I was doing was I was doing lazy keto, which in essence, all you're basically doing, you're eating as much as you want, but you're still working out, but you have to eat within a certain carb limit. I had moments where I had a little pie here, a little ice cream here, a little bit of cookies here, a little peanut butter here. Peanut butter's not that bad for you, but peanut butter cookies bad for you. And here and there ends up becoming a common thing. And then you start seeing the scale go up slightly, and you start panicking, then you start yo-yo dieting. That's another big thing, too, I learned. A lot of us struggle with yo-yo dieting. A lot of us struggle with bouncing back and forth in between diets because we're not seeing the results as fast as we want to. And I'll speak to, from my personal experience, a lot of the time when it comes to dieting, you can feel, you know, this is what I say about when it comes to weight loss. You want to know when you're losing weight. This is what I'll tell you. Don't go off of how you look. Don't go off of the scale. Go off how your clothes feel on you. That is the number one way. That way has never failed me. I don't know what the freak it is about it. When you're losing weight, I can feel it now. I've only started changing my diet in the last 4 days. And literally, I can already feel my belt. My belts feel looser. My pants feel looser. My shirts feel looser. Like, it's the little stuff. You'll feel that part of your body where the shirt is touching your hips. You'll feel it starting to shrink away. Like, it's something about the way your clothes. Your body knows now. Even my face. Like, I'm starting to naturally to see my cheekbones stick out more. Like, now, moving past that point, we'll go to weight maintenance. And this is where I think I had to learn. Because a lot of you guys might be in the middle of your fitness journey. A lot of you guys might be at the end of it. What I will tell you is, at a certain point, it's going to end up being hard for you to keep working out as hard as you are. Me, I probably only eat maybe a month more of the doing this before I get to where I want to be. I'll tell you that you need to think about what diet will keep you at that weight that you want to get to. What changes that you need to make? What sacrifices do you need to make? And when it comes to that, what I also will say is, what diet do you know for a fact you can stick to? There's no such thing as a perfect diet. It's no such thing. But what there is the diet that is of the least inconvenience to you. I do keto because that is a diet that is of the least inconvenience to me. I can eat as much meat as I want. I can eat as much cheese as I want. But at the same time, you don't think I miss eating ice cream? You don't think I miss eating cookies? You don't think I miss eating walnut sandwiches? I don't know why the fuck I said walnut sandwich. I don't even sound desirable. So because of that, that just comes with the package. Now, if you're doing a high-carb diet, it's the vice versa. If you're on the vegan diet, you get to eat as much plants, fruits as you want to, but you can't eat meat at all. But I can tell you, because I've done it before, on vegan diet, you will lose weight. You will lose a lot of weight in a vegan diet. But then also, other thing you got to think of, too, is at what point your body type is at. You know, I'll tell you straight up, that was one mistake I made recently. I stopped doing keto and did vegan for a minute, like for a week or two, and I gained so much weight. That's why the majority of my pounds I gained then, because when you yo-yo diet and when your body is not used to having a certain amount of carbs, when you change diets instantly, it hits you like a ton of bricks. And that's what happened to me, you know, even with working out as hard as I was. So you just have to be careful, man. You have to be careful. You have to understand your body type. And you have to understand the key thing I'll say at this point of my fitness journey is understanding weight maintenance. Understanding what diet. Because one thing I will tell you, just for me personally, I don't care how much working out you do. I don't care how many hours you're on that treadmill. If your diet is not correct, it can all be gone in one instant. That's what happened to me. And I hate saying like I died. Like the pounds I gained, it's enough to where I'm like, fuck, I slipped. But it ain't like literally, at the rate I'm going right now, month or so, I'll probably be back where I want to be at. But I want to be honest because I feel like I see so many people who get to that level, that goal that they wanted to get to. They can finally wear that shirt they wanted to get that they bought at the guest store in the mall. But, you know, you just stop and you have to understand, like, it's the diet, bro. It's the diet. You cannot slip on that diet. That diet is so important. That diet is the exercise plus diet will get the results, but that diet by itself will maintain the results. If you have a slow metabolism naturally, like if you naturally digest food kind of slow, that diet is so important because you won't lose those abs that you got. Now, if you have a fast metabolism, it's the adverse, and that's where it goes into knowing what your body type is like. Like, if you're somebody who's naturally skinny, then you understand that you have to eat a certain amount of food to be able to maintain your muscle. I'm saying, everybody's struggle is different. Everybody's path of life is different. Shout out to T.D. Jakes. He's a pastor, very famous pastor. I've brought him up on this podcast a few times, and I was watching my cousin. Shout out to my cousin Will. He sent me a video of a speech he did talking about why men don't feel comfortable opening up to women. How some women say that men are unemotional. Don't have emotion. They lack understanding, and they don't know how to be vulnerable. And what he said was, you teach us not to feel open to being vulnerable when a lot of men don't feel open and don't feel capable of expressing their emotions because what their daddy told them when they were 7 years old, but also because they feel that the women that they're in relationships with, the women that they share homes with, will ridicule them or use what they would tell them against them, as a lot of women do. There's that classic joke by, what's my boy's name? Dane Cook. Dane Cook said, man, hey, you know, like, you know, you'll argue with a woman, and then even if you're right, she'll say something. She has that one car that she'll say, like, that's why your dad had AIDS. That's why your dad was a dodo or something like that. Like, you know, that goes into that conversation of things. That goes into that box of things where, you at one point you might have had a conversation with your woman talking about like how maybe your dad had a disease or maybe you felt some type of way about how your dad moved about things, and they bring that back up against you. My mama does that a lot. It's weird to be in this era now where there are so many different conversations, so many different, I guess, campaigns against the things that we as men were taught that was normal. Grow up and be a man. Men don't cry. Stop being a bitch. All that other stuff. My daddy told me that personally. And it's weird because we don't have to keep upholding these outdated standards and virtues of manhood. there's a lot of conversations about mental health now. And I think a lot of those conversations really need to be had, because there are so many men out here who struggle with mental health and don't even know that they are. There are a lot of men out here who are mentally breaking down, and they don't know it. They don't even recognize it. Think about all the men, all the good men who are construction workers, engineers, who worked 80 hours a week to pay a mortgage, raise three kids, put two or three of them through college. Two of them damn kids ain't even get a major in a field that they can get a goddamn job in. And those fathers, despite all that, literally bleeding themselves to death, had to just suck it up and just give it away, just give their whole life away. When I used to work at the bar, all the bars I worked at, you know, you see the winos there, you see the drunks and the lowlifes, as my Aunt Deborah used to always call them. But there are a lot of men who came there, brother, who were and are good men, who are fathers, who do provide, and they just needed a break. And sometimes those two or three drinks that they could get at the bar help with that. I say that because I'm at that point in my life where I'm doing okay in life. My pay is pretty chill. And it's weird to be at a phase where I'm not going to over-exaggerate and say everybody in my family is reaching for me or grabbing out at me. But it's interesting being with that phase where I'm starting to slowly feel the pressures of certain people asking me for money, certain people saying they need my help, certain people seeing opportunity in me, of the opportunity that would come with having me by their side, and starting to talk to me in a different kind of route, different kind of way. It's also interesting because when I look back, for some of us that come from a certain environment, a lot of people, you know, rich is relative. Having money is relative. Being successful is very relative. I don't consider myself successful. I don't. I make over $100,000 a year, and I don't consider myself successful. I just consider myself on the next stepping stone to life. The job I'm trying to take my last test for and pass for now is probably going to pay me $10,000 less a year when I get it, but I just, it's a job I'm passionate about, you know, just to have a real conversation on this podcast. But from my immediate peer group, the cousins that I shared beds with when I was staying on North Colonial Drive in Montgomery, Alabama, the brothers and sisters that, you know, even when our mothers moved us to different states, my mom moved us to Alabama, my other brothers moved to Pennsylvania. When we have conversations, hey, at the end of the day, and of our peer group, I'm the one that's making the most money. Outside of my older sister, much love to her and my brother-in-law, shout out to Jermaine. So it's weird, even with my sister. So it's weird when I have conversations with them and they'll ask me for certain things, some of them, because they feel that that should be nothing to me. That should be nothing to me for you to ask. It should be nothing to you to buy us $200 worth of stuff, even though 3 days ago you bought me $200 worth of groceries. It's a real experience. It should be nothing to you to cash at me money at random, just because you have a set job in life and I don't. And what people don't, it should be nothing for you to say, hey, let me pick up this person. Can you pick up this person? Let this person stay at your home for a while because we just need a break. And what they don't get is at the end of the day, I still have a life. I still have bills. My cousin, you know, I have an uncle. Shout out to my uncle Tinky. And, my Uncle Tinky, my Margarita, and they did a lot from when I was younger. And a lot of what they did, I didn't really appreciate how much they did for me or how taxing that was on them until I got older and really started getting bills and stuff like that. Because, you know, you just look at life different when you're in those situations. This last year was one of the best years of my life because it was a mental health. It was opportunity of just real, true mental cleansing, mental health revival, and just re-understanding who I was as a person and why I have my own defeating behaviors that I have. And I think a lot of people go through this, bro. A lot of men a lot of men have demons. A lot of us have issues. And a lot of us, it wasn't until this year that I realized how many situations I caught. There was one time I did an episode in this podcast talking about how all the fears I had about dating and how all I feel so alone and how all this, et cetera, et cetera. And then right after that, God just has a way of just opening your eyes to just shit. I started having conversations with some women that I used to talk to. Started really trying to open up my mind to different experiences. And I realized 98% of my interactions with women, when they went wrong, it was because of something that I did. It was because of my own insecurities. Even up until 2 to 3 weeks ago. A lot of us have an issue with self-sabotage. Self-sabotage is a really big thing that we all have. But a lot of the times, it'll be so innate in us that we don't know when we are self-sabotaging ourselves. We won't understand when this behavior is not hurting anybody else. But when you hold grudges against people like I used to do all the time, we won't understand that is only hurting ourselves, not the people around us. Every time I ever told myself, I'm not going to talk to this person, I'm going to be a fucking dick to this person, it only hurt me more because it made me feel more lonelier. It made me feel more voiceless. It made me feel more deprived. And it's the same thing with women. It's a lot of women who I cut off, who I ghosted, who I stopped talking to. And a lot of them I really did like and really did like me. But that self-defeating, self-sabotaging behavior, it can be so just naturally embedded in you that it's hard for you to hope and it's hard for you to believe that. I think there are a lot of when you have a self-sabotaging personality, a lot of that comes from your insecurity of how you feel about you. And a lot of us simply feel that we don't deserve to be loved. We don't deserve to be liked. We don't deserve to attract people. Just being for real. And so you will act in response. You will act out in response to that. It was so many times I talk to girls now when I realized that I didn't realize up until 2 months ago, man, that like, and I knew this, but I just kind of like, it's not trying to sound cocky, but just being real, I didn't understand that up until just recently that I don't have to be a smart ass or be sarcastic or come off as a dick for a girl to like me. I can literally just exist and a woman will like me. And when I'm saying that, what I mean is I don't have to jump through hoops and bounds to attract the woman that I like or attract the woman that I want to talk to. But somehow in my brain, I have this feeling that like I'm not good enough. So I have to do something to sell myself higher, do something to make a perk woman feel that I'm bigger than I am. I have to tell her, oh, I have this federal job and I make this amount of money. I have to tell her, oh, I have a podcast and this and that. And a lot of the times it's not necessary. It's everybody's walk in life is different, but I'll just say, I'll stand on this. The self-sabotaging is a real thing. And I bring it up because most of the issues that I had in life were brought about by self-sabotaging, but not believing in myself. Even going back to my days when I was younger, when I was getting bullied in the streets. There was a very, very, and I don't want to say his name because the crime that put this man in jail for life and while his ass is locked up is very serious, and I don't want to speak highly of him in that realm. In the video, there was a guy, very famous gang member who was a very, very talented fighter in the streets. And he said, the interviewer was asking one of his fellow gang members about him. And he said something. He's like, well, you know, he said, was he always a talented fighter? Because he was just known for knocking out 16, 15, 30 people. And his friend in the interview said, well, we'll call the guy I'm talking about, we'll call him Mike. He said, well, the thing about Mike is, if you ask my opinion, Mike was always a talented fighter. He just didn't have the confidence. It wasn't until he went to jail that he got the confidence. When I heard that, I'll never forget, there was this kid I knocked out. I always bring it up. No, I think it was Craig. It was somebody I knocked out when I was in Drop Club. I was like 17. And it was this guy, I'll never forget. He's from Northgate, from Northside Montgomery. And he happened to be talking about me because I was walking by. He's like, and one of his boys was with him. He said, hey, ain't you the little boy who knocked out whatchamacallit? And that I'll never forget. He looked him in his eyes. He said, nah, man. He said, because the dude was like, nah, man, I can't believe that shit. He said, nah, bro. He said, I've seen. No, because I remember, yeah, it was Scuttle. Scuttle, that was his name, Scuttle. Scuttle, because he saw me slap Q to the ground. And he said, no, bro. He said, I'm going to tell you. He said, he can fight. And the dude was like, no. He's like, no, bro. My name, real name is Joe. He said, no, bro. Joe can fight. He's just timid. I'll never forget that. He told me, he said, no, bro, I can tell you. I've seen him twice fight. He's like, bro, that nigga can fight. He's just timid. But he can fight. He got it. And I didn't think of it that deep at the moment. But when I look back at that, I think about how many other experiences, how many other moments of bullying I could have avoided if I would have believed in myself, if I'd have had more confidence in myself. You know, because like what he was saying, when I look back on it, what he was saying was true. A lot of the times you can beat somebody in a fight just off of your mental. A mental game is a motherfucker. Having mental fortitude, believing in yourself, believing that you're capable of certain things can go a long way, bro. And lack of belief can do the same thing too. It can take you down. I wonder how many of us aren't in positions in life that we should be in because we don't understand that we're capable of getting there. I wonder how many of us have jobs that we don't know that we can have, don't have jobs that we don't know we can have because we feel like we don't deserve them. I told y'all when I got this job, man, I had to pass a shoot and I was scared as fuck. I thought I wasn't gonna. When I tell you the mental depressive, like March and April, bro, I was so depressed. I was so sad because I just was like, God, like I know I can't pass this thing. Like, why did you put this in front? Why did you put this opportunity in front of me? I called my aunt and told her, like, my instincts are telling me I can't do this. Like, but I was wrong. I was wrong about my own capability. And that is not something that's universal, that's specific to me, because I feel like a lot of us are. A lot of us don't understand how great we are. A lot of us as men don't understand what we bring to the table. A lot of us don't understand that the world is ours. A lot of us don't understand our worth. A lot of us are still battling our own inner demons. A lot of us don't realize that, you know, And that's why I say it's interesting to have a conversation about mental health because, and I've talked about this in the podcast, but I just got to talk about it. A lot of us became the men that we are today because of adverse situations, because of uncomfortable situations. And we don't recognize, we don't talk about, you know, I told this story before. I feel like I have on the podcast when I dragged this guy out the bar and I made him touch everything and slammed him and all this other crazy, weird Hulk shit I was doing. And a girl was talking about me the next week when she said, I just thought that looked so hot. I thought it was so sexy when you were doing that, right? And she thought it was cute. She thought it was sexy that I slammed him and threw him out. When I think about that, I think about this other time. I remember I drugged this guy out the bar in Gary's Lounge in Lodi. I drugged that motherfucker out by his neck. And I walked past his dude, older brother. He said, hey, brother. I like the way you handle business, brother. I like that, right? And it felt cool to get that pat on the back when you said that. Felt odd when that girl said that because I didn't want to be known for choking the shit out of people and slamming them. But I bring that up because I wonder, would you still look at me the same if you knew what I had to go through to get that? Would you still look at me as like this tough dude? Okay, he with this shit. If you understood, if you could see what happened to me, the demons I battled that made me like. When I was at the gym a few days ago, one of my homies, I have this weird thing, bro, where like if people. I have very bad reflexes. So this person, not bad reflexes, but very just quick attack reflexes. Like I'm always been an attack reflex person. So every time somebody, when I'm in the gym, somebody touches me by my back or touches, they don't understand this shit yet. Literally on instinct, I turn around to punch them. Like on instinct, my fist comes up. I'm already in go mode. And like I almost punched my friend last week, and I apologized to him. I hugged him. I said, I'm sorry, man. Just my instinct. And there was when I did it, there was this guy behind me who was laughing. He's like, man, I gotta be real. Shoot, my instincts ain't even that goddamn fast. Fuck. It was like a joke to him, but he was laughing. He was joking, just like, man, I wish I had instincts like that. But he not understanding, man, like what happened to me, what demons I battle with every day when I'm alone. I think about that. That put that in me, that, you know. And it's interesting because all those experiences happened so long ago, but as you get older, they don't go away. You know, your demons, they stay with you. You never forget them. You know, and what I've been trying to understand these last few years is that how I saw myself, how people saw me when I was 16 or 15 or 17 is just not the truth anymore. The man that I am, what I've worked to be is not the reality of my life anymore. It's just not. And it's a daily battle. It's a daily struggle. Because those things, those self-sabotaging thoughts about you, how you saw yourself, were formed in your formative years. The years when you started figuring out who you were as a person. So it's hard to fight that. This is odd, man. This is interesting, man. You know? I think as humans, we don't understand our power of choice in this world. We don't understand that we have the choice to choose a different outcome. We have the choice to not die behind these non-existent virtues. Shout out to Joe Budden. We have the choice to choose a different path, a different route than what our fathers chose. We have that choice. And it's just hard recognizing that because we're just so used to just believing the worst in ourselves, not seeing our own greatness, not recognize that we do deserve better. There are a lot of y'all out there, man. I'm saying this to men, but I'm saying also to women too. Do not diminish the fact for those of you guys out there who are waking up every single day, maintaining a home, maintaining your family, keeping a roof over your head. Do not diminish that. Do not diminish the fact that even though the fact that that some of you guys might be staying in the worst of housing projects and neighborhoods where bullets are flying every other day, yet and still you still have a job and you still trying to go to school. Do not diminish that. Do not diminish the fact that that for whatever reason you chose to enroll in the Marines, you chose to fight in our military, and damn it, you stuck with it. Damn it, you got your honors, you got your badges, and you are part of it. Do not diminish the fact that you have the courage to join our law enforcement. Some of us out there, we have greatness until we don't even recognize it. Because as men, you're almost taught to just, you know, accept everything. We don't accept praise. We just take a pat on the back and just move on. But you guys are great. You know, same thing with our, you know, and that goes with our women. A lot of women deal with fucked up guys and accept fucked up shit from guys because they don't understand that they can demand and do deserve better. Just being 100. Same thing with guys. A lot of us accept certain type of things from women and certain things from women just because, I don't know, man. I always come with these sad episodes, and I just, you know, I feel like that's when I'm at my best, man. I feel like not every podcast is just going to be me cracking jokes and laughing. Sometimes we're going to just have a conversation and just be vulnerable and be real, you know, and because I feel like a lot of us deal with these things and we just don't talk about it, bro. Mental health is a real, yeah, I look at it like this. This is what I'll just say. Drinking, playing video games, smoking, my weird shit with reading languages, crossword puzzles, etc., buying a prostitute on Charterway, all of this stuff, all of these things are forms of escapism. All forms of escapism. Escapism simply just means a way to escape your daily life, or just to kind of, and we look at it as forms of enjoyment, but most entertainment in general is just a form of escapism. And I bring that up to one to ask you, what are you escaping? What are you trying to escape from? What do you not want to deal with? Because you have a choice to make things a little bit better. I do think that at the end of the day, to be human is to suffer, and to be human, you have to deal with certain things. What I also do believe is that you have the choice to choose what you struggle for, to choose what you suffer for. This job I'm working right now is paying me more than I've ever made in my life. The job that I'm taking my last test to get, that job is going to pay me, like I said, at least $10,000 less than this job probably. It pays me more hourly, but it's just less overtime. But I bring that up because I'm choosing that job. I'm choosing a job that's probably harder mentally than this job because it's in the area that I'm passionate about. And I understand that the struggle comes with that. I understand that the pain comes with that. But it's where my passion lies. So it is something to be said about just choosing your struggles. With that being said, this is the West Coast Greatest Voice. I love y'all. Much love, peace, and chicken grease. And I'll try to come back here next week. Thank you for listening.